Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. This morning we got Sister Shelley. She is a driver out of North Carolina, and she's going to be giving her testimony this morning. And I've been looking forward to this. And I'm just going to, at this point, give it to you, Shelley. It's all yours.
Thank you. As you said, this is Shelley. I've been driving for about 16 years now. And first off, I want to start out by saying that ever since I agreed to do this, everything's been going wrong. This is the third time we've scheduled this, and everything keeps happening so that I just stopped doing it. I had an asthma attack a couple days ago. My lungs have been hurting. I've been through a storm tonight. I didn't think that was going to end. I mean, I just keep getting thrown all sorts of things so that I don't do this. But here I am, and we're going to go with it. I'm the oldest of four children, and my mother had three of us in a five-year span. And she didn't get a whole lot of help from my dad. He worked good, but he didn't really help her with us. And it just really started frustrating her, so my oldest brother and I took her anger quite a bit. And at one point, as I started getting older, I accidentally cut myself on my foot, and at that point, I realized how good that felt. It took away all my pain that was inside. We all have different ways of expressing our pain. Well, I found my way. That began the day of my self-mutilation. The only way I could find relief from everything that was going on around me, because my mother was really put angry all the time. So I ended up cutting myself. And I know you probably think it's weird, but I'd sit there and watch all the blood flow out of me. And with it came all the problems that life held. And for that instant, I had relief. Didn't last long, though. We've been taught we had to keep everything inside of us. We weren't allowed to tell anybody. My brother, he would punch walls so his fists would bleed, and I just kept cutting myself. As I got older, by the time I turned 16, I gave my life to Jesus. And at the church we were going to at the time, I got involved with the puppet ministry. And for the first time, I actually felt like I was wanted. Somebody really needed me. But by the time I was 18, I got pregnant, and I didn't have a husband. And back then, times were pretty rough on you if you didn't have a husband. And the church turned her back on me. So because of that, I left and stopped believing. And things just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Here I am now, an 18-year-old. I got a baby. I'm still cutting myself. Nothing seems to be working out right for me.
I guess Shelley fell off. Okay, Shelley, go ahead.
Okay. By this point, the only peace I ever found was when I would cut myself. And like I said, in my mind, as I sat there watching all the blood flow out, everything that was up against me flowed out with it. After all this was said and done, I came back down off, I guess you might want to call it a high, whatever you want to call it. It's pretty ashamed of what I'd done. So I had to keep covering up myself. I had to wear long sleeves, long pants, so that nobody else in the world would see it. I didn't know how to express myself. I didn't know how to tell people or tell anybody. I didn't know how to even bring anything up. So this was the only way I knew how to express myself, and nobody ever had to find out. Every time I hear somebody screaming, yelling, angry words, I try to avoid any confrontation there is, only because it brought back all the memories. And then I'd start hearing that voice in my head again telling me I had to do it if I wanted relief. And I'd try to fight it off and fight it off, but usually the voice in my head always won. I'd go to the doctors, they'd ask me what was wrong with my arms, my legs, and I'd tell them my dog had cut and scratched, did this, did that. You learn how to lie so that you don't have to tell the truth. And I know they knew, but without me actually telling them, there was really nothing they could do. All I wanted was the pain to go away, and it just never went away. I constantly had that big empty hole there. I met my husband, and then I got married to him. And I ended up marrying in my own comfort zone, what I was used to being treated as. And that's how that went for the next several years. During that time, I got sick really bad a couple of different times. The first time, I got the flesh-eating disease. And the survival rate for that was 20%. And of that 20%, usually half at least ended up with amputations. But I didn't have amputations, and God saved me from that even when I wasn't asking for it. And then just a few years after that, I ended up getting pneumonia. In fact, it was while driving this truck that I quit breathing practically. Once the ambulance got me there, I did die. And I coded twice more while I was at the hospital. And that turned into sepsis. And it was a really long recovery period for that one. But again, I had no survival rate with that one. But I made it again. God again kept me here. And really, I had no clue why. I mean, I didn't have a purpose. At that point, I'd been smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day. But after the second illness, I did give them up because the doctor told me if I didn't, I definitely would die. So I did that. So I haven't smoked since then. And then here, a few years ago, things were getting really, things had been bad the entire time of our marriage. And all this time, all I did was cut myself. Kept cutting and cutting. And the cutting just wasn't working no more, but I still kept cutting. I figured if I got deep enough, I'd get to the core of the problem, but it just didn't work. Towards the end of 2013, about September, I believe it was, the doctors told me that I had my kidneys were going into renal failure. They told me to quit my job. They told me I had to go on disability because I was definitely going to be going on to dialysis. During that period there, they did a CAT scan on me to see how my kidneys were looking and found that I had enlarged lymph nodes. So at that point, they thought I had lymphoma because my father was dying from that, so they automatically assumed I had cancer. They did a couple of biopsies and found out I did not have cancer, but they told me I had some autoimmune disease that was going to probably kill me. By this point, everything was going wrong. My marriage was crumbling. I would keep getting sick. All I knew at this point for several years, probably about 9 or 10 years, was nothing but doctors and hospitals. In between, I drove a truck. When I wasn't in the truck, I was in a hospital. I finally gave up. I started thinking of ways that I could just go ahead and leave life because life wasn't that important to me at all. It just wasn't important. So I finally came to the bottom. And I guess that's where God saw that it was coming to an end for me in my own mind. And that's when he started orchestrating people into my life. First person he threw into my life was Brother Skip. And he was there. He reached out just at the time I needed him. And I was able to talk to him. And he listened. And he didn't wave his finger at me or nothing. He didn't act like I was crazy or nothing else. And after he talked to me for, I don't remember, a couple weeks or so, he got me hooked up with a cousin of his, a lady, who really started helping me even more. And she got me with other people. And God just started putting all the people together for me. And then one day Skip asked me, he's like, what happens if you die today? You going to go to heaven or hell? And I couldn't answer that. So he asked me if I wanted to make sure, and we together, a little over a year ago, he walked me through everything so that I was guaranteed of where I was going. Skip, pause it for a little bit, please.
There you go.
After I got saved, well, I was saved before, but just for a long, many, many years, I wasn't there. And all of you who know Brother Skip, you know he can be a real pain at times. He started pushing me to sing. Brother Curtis has been on me only for about 12 years, and I hadn't done it for him. Just couldn't do it. But he didn't push nearly as hard as what Brother Skip did. He just wouldn't let go. And most of you all know, at one point or another, I'm sure he's pushed each of you. And one day I did try. And I know it was all squeaky and crackly and everything else, but, you know, it really felt good to finally find an outlet. And that outlet really has really, really done me so well, because in the times that I needed to, the thoughts of wanting to do what I've done all my life for about 38 years, I was cutting myself. The struggling was still there, and it never stopped. But I was able to, the thoughts just kept coming back to me, and they wouldn't leave me. Even though I had gotten saved, they just wouldn't leave. And after I was able to start singing, I found that when I thought it, those thoughts, if I started singing, if I started praising Jesus, if I started praying, I could control it a little bit better. I wouldn't have to go that way, and I didn't. I haven't gone that way in about 9 months. But can you pause it again?
All yours.
Thanks. I'm sorry, I keep on having it pause. I just don't like to connect with what was. I finally learned how to control all these thoughts simply by giving it all to Jesus. But the thoughts just wouldn't go away until back on March 28th. I was laying back on the bed of the truck while my husband drove, and there was a trucker's revival going on. And as I watched it laying in bed, well, let me back up first before I get to that. After I rededicated my life back to Jesus, a couple few months into it, I started seeking the Holy Spirit. I wanted the evidence of tongues. And Brother Curtis, Brother Skip, they told me everything I had to know, but it wouldn't come. It just, I tried and I tried and I tried. And I thought it must be something that you really, really had to do and follow some kind of role plan or whatever. And I finally just gave up because I didn't really think it was really going to ever happen to me. So I just quit seeking. But on March 28th, while I laid back here in that bed and watched a revival that night, on a Saturday night, I was watching it right there. And out of nowhere, I started speaking in tongues. I didn't ask. I wasn't seeking. I didn't study. I didn't take no test. It just happened. And for many days after, I couldn't stop. It just, all my mouth wanted to do was speak in tongues. It just kept coming and coming and coming. After a while, I realized I hadn't thought anymore about wanting to cut myself at all. And at one point, I thought that I had been delivered from it. The real test came when a problem came up, and it would have been a problem that would have taken me right back there. And I didn't think about it. I knew at that point that the Holy Spirit had cleaned my whole entire inside up. I no longer, anymore, ever, even think about it. Now it's just like it belongs to somebody else. I don't have to even worry about it. The desire is gone. So, for me, it wasn't just even getting rededicated. It was letting the Holy Ghost fill me and clean me up the way He wanted and pushing me forward to do what He wants to do. As all these years went by, my mother, just a couple years back ago, told me she was sorry for what she'd done to me and my brothers. My one brother won't even talk to her to this day. He wasn't hurt from her, but he watched it all. And my other brother has had to go through counseling. At the age of 46, 47, he's going through counseling. But she apologized. And I know she really never meant to hurt us. I know that. It was just too much on her. And I've forgiven her. And we love each other. And I actually have a relationship with my mother today, one I didn't have back then. And I really believe that because of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Because they made me have a forgiving heart. And I don't hold it against her. I only wish my brothers could do the same. There was a day then we went to church, and my husband, after the service was over, he took one of my arms. The pastor had come over to talk to us, and he took one of my arms, showed the pastor my arm, and he's like, "Look what the dog did to her." And he had to point it out, and I'm still not really sure why he did that to me, but he did. And I looked at him, and I said, "I'm not going to lie anymore." And I told the pastor right there in front of everybody, I did it to myself. And it was just like a whole load got released from me because for the first time, I actually said it out loud without, and my pastor's reaction was so wonderful. All he did was, "Wow, you must have a testimony to tell." He didn't put me down. He didn't look at me like I was crazy. It was just like an everyday thing. Oh, well, I didn't have to feel shame anymore. There's a whole lot more I probably could say, but I'm not going to keep going. What I'm going to tell you, though, is if you've ever done this to yourself, if you've ever tried to destroy yourself, I understand what it's like. I know the pain. I know the feeling of being hopeless, having no hope, and having no future. I know I wanted to get help, but I was so scared. I didn't want nobody to know what was wrong with me because they'd think I was crazy. On this line that I've been coming up to so many years, I wanted what everybody had up here, but I didn't want to ask for it because then that meant I had to let them know what I was. And I couldn't tell nobody that. I do know that if you have a good friend, you need to tell somebody. And I know Brother Skip never understood why I did it. But I do know that he gave me the compassion and the prayer that I needed. He got me back to Jesus. He gave me my eternal assurance with Jesus. All because he did what God told him to do. And there's people out there that will help you. I can't. Brother Skip, you can take it. I can't do no more.
Well, Shelly, thanks for sharing. And I believe everything Shelly is sharing is true. If you're having a problem like this or any other problem, the worst thing you can do, would you agree, Shelly, the worst thing you can do is keep it a secret. Would you agree?
It is the worst thing you can do.
Get help. There's all kinds of organizations for whatever problem there is, whether you deal with what Shelly was dealing with, or you have suicidal thoughts, you are someone that abuses your children, or your spouse, you grew up in a situation, and now you're living out that legacy in your life. There are people that can help you, and God can deliver you from your problem. And I'm gonna give my phone number out. And if anyone has the same issue that Shelly has dealt with her whole life, that the Lord has delivered her from, you contact me, and I will get you in contact with her. She can help you. She can talk to you. My number is 816-729-6649. You can call or text. And I want to thank Shelly for giving her testimony. I know it was tough, but the Lord is going to use this to help other people. I guarantee you. And I thank you all for joining us here at Extend the Hand of God Highway Ministries. Thanks. God bless.